It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films, Blu-ray, and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
Hello there, boppers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosi. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which someday we'll update at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The voice you just heard is a man who can air drum and air Fender Rhodes at the same time. That's a very special set of skills. It's Kobe Slagle.
Less people in the band, everybody gets a bigger cut.
That's true. Thank you. Thank you, Otis. And joining us on air bass, do we have his
Oh man, yeah.
You see him in here.
I know. And see, I looked for it, but I thought we were
you got caught up in the excitement of the air band.
I thought we were going to be talking about air bass more.
The air, you know, the WFYI Air Orchestra.
You know who's here?
They open
Lawrence of Arabia. He's an English guy. He came to fight the Turkish.
Okay, Clark, right there. That's what I'm talking about. Lawrence of Arabia doesn't have any lyrics to it. Doesn't have any words.
What do you mean doesn't have lyrics?
It's music. It's music.
Hey, I've seen the movie four times.
And there were no
words
to it.
What are you
doing? There are no words to that. Did you hear what I was singing earlier?
Somewhere I know that somebody, I think, wrote lyrics to this song.
Mike Perry's in the house.
Hi, everybody.
So as you were saying, Mike apparently has joined the WFYI Air Orchestra. They're going to be opening for Kobe Slagle y his Los Band. And if you can't see it on the road, I think there was a reason why we don't have a.
You can't get tickets to this; it's sold out.
Yeah, and there's a reason why
we don't have
a webcam in the studio for good reason, but that's okay. And Mike's going to fill us in on a major event that happened that I could not go to, Kobe could not go to.
Oh yes,
but there is a repeat broadcast of it, I believe,
Tuesday
of Riff Trax's treatment of The Room, which is happening at a Fathom event at your local theater. Go check out Fathom Events or Riff Trax to find out where you can endure The Room. I can't wait to hear
Enduring is a good word.
It is a good word. Opening in theaters this week, Hot Pursuit. Would you see a road movie with Sofia Vergara and Reese Witherspoon?
No.
No. A female version of Midnight Run, as it looks like and sounds like, maybe.
If it were Melissa McCarthy and Sofia Vergara.
Really?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. But nothing I've seen from the trailers is going to get me into the theater to see that.
There you go. Nothing over there, Cobe?
Mm-mm.
How about Far From the Madding Crowd? Has Bianca brought that up yet?
No, she has not.
The Marm has. We'll probably go see that sometime this weekend.
It means it's news is coming down your way soon, Mr. Slagle. How do we see this? It has Daisy. Yes, I know. Anytime I see a trailer for a period piece film, I immediately think of the Slagles.
Yeah,
I'm going to hang out with Frank that night. Why don't you go with your mom? All right, opening in theaters. However, I did see today, the Academy Award-nominated documentary. This is the other thing. I thought I thought we were, once Oscar season was done, and of course, Age of Voltron invaded theaters.
Avengers. That
have you gone yet?
No.
Are you, have you set a date?
No.
No?
Don't know if I'll see it.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a pretty bold statement.
Yeah, I have things to do.
You'll probably be the only one left in the country. I mean, my wife even wants to go see this.
I didn't see Avatar in theaters.
What's wrong with you? That's the only place to see Avatar.
Yeah, that's one that's kind of worth.
I've still not made it through
3D.
Avatar.
Guess what? The blue people win.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, that's for a but. No, it's fine. There's other films for him to see because eventually we will have the Phoenix Rise that is What Is Kobe Watching?
It's lying dormant.
But don't worry. Here's the beauty. You keep listening to the show, maybe next week.
right after they update the blog.
That's right. Right after we update the blog. Oh, gosh. Anyway, and since we are now in the midst of summer blockbuster season in early May, I thought we were done with having Oscar-nominated films come to our fair city, but I was wrong because one of the nominees for Best Documentary, The Salt of the Earth, is in town, and it's the basically, and I'm going to butcher this, so I apologize, but it's the life and work of photographer Sebastião Salgado, and this was something that was done by his son as well as film director Wim Wenders. So do we have audio for this?
Yes, we do.
And I love trailers of documentaries. We will not break this one down. I actually like this film. So
this is a good one. You need to hear this.
Yeah, you need to hear this.
Okay. A photographer is literally somebody drawing with light. A man writing and rewriting the world with lights and shadows.
Quand j'arrivais au bord de cet immense trou, j'ai senti dérouler devant moi en quelques fractions de seconde l'histoire de l'humanité, l'histoire des constructions de pyramides, la tour de Babel, les mines du roi Salomon.
Little did I know that I was going to discover much more than just a photographer. So one thing I knew already about this Sebastião Salgado, he really cared about people. After all, people are the salt of the earth.
On est un animal très féroce. On est un animal terrible, nous les humains. Notre histoire, c'est l'histoire de guerre. C'est une histoire sans fin, histoire folle. Je crois qu'on peut mettre beaucoup de photographes différents dans le même endroit. Ils feront toujours des photos très différentes. Ils forment leur manière de voir, chacun, en fonction de son histoire.
You know, you really need subtitles,
which is great for radio.
Yeah,
but I love the fact that we have a documentary trailer in another language, which I of course love to play here at Film Sociology. So yeah, Salt of the Earth, not about the song by the Rolling Stones, which is still pretty cool. But interesting enough, while watching this, Kobe, you responded verbally.
Yeah,
there's a footage, and it's early on in the film of guys basically working in a pit. Mm-hmm. Climbing down, and I mean hundreds if not thousands of workers going up and down these pits digging for months and months on end, if not years. Ladies and gentlemen, the film,
this should get
yeah,
this should get the typical, well, I think you said it on here a couple weeks ago where when something is described as visually stunning, I mean, it usually means
boring as hell, but this is not the case with this.
Yeah.
The work this gentleman has done, the man's traveled the globe and has photographed some of the most beautiful as well as some of the most heartbreaking images that we have on this planet. And if anything else, the film may at times does feel like it's a well-shot slide presentation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mike, you're old enough to remember when we would get harassed. People would be threatened with the slideshow. you would go to somebody's house and get to see slideshow of their vacation to Minneapolis.
As opposed to, you know, like in our classrooms when we were kids. Cause,
the AV club.
Because I was the AV guy.
You
so
were the AV
it
guy.
It gave me something to do, so I didn't mind the slideshows.
Right. Well, this is kind of a more refined version of that because, there's a lot of amazing photography that's shown. And you also get to see how some of these pictures were done. Something as simple as gently rolling on the ground to get shots of polar bears that are fairly close without getting more. And, yeah, Vendors does have kind of a Herzogian voiceover, which I'm all for, of course, because that should be – we still need pledge breaks by the likes of Werner Herzog and Wim Wenders. But it also shows that after a while, some of the atrocities, especially some of the stuff that was happening in Africa, that it finally does take a toll on a guy. One of the things that Ed Johnsonat, my colleague at Nouveau, and you should read Ed's review of this in Nouveau, but one of the things that was brought up, and I know it goes back to being something as a Sam Kinison joke about when you are photographing death and famine and suffering, what does a photographer do? You know, can a photographer do something? And that's something, you know, and it's especially, you know, the old bit was, well, I bet the filmmakers have a sandwich. I mean, that's the Sam Kinison bit, sorry. But it does. But what it brings up is, you know, how involved do you get? And after a while, it got to this guy. It got to Salgado. And then he changed projects to show more life-affirming material that's also here on I mean, and projects that take months, if not years, to create. And so anyway, if you're into heavy visuals and a really... The look of an artist at an artist and his heart, this is definitely worth checking out.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, I mean, it, at the very least, and Ed even said, you know, if you think your life sucks here at, you know, here at floor two of the WFYI building or out in Broad Ripple or wherever, you should really watch this and shut up.
Oh, man. I'm so eager to see it now.
You should. No,
I'm just
going to
sit over here in the corner in the fetal position.
In a fetal position.
For the rest of the show.
Yeah, but it's you know it's not a David Lynch picture as far as that type of curling in the fetal position.
Well, at least with a David Lynch film, you get a healthy dose of crazy too.
Well, there is somebody who actually it came out on DVD that apparently studied Mr. Lynch's work, and we'll get that in a little bit. Also, folks, just a reminder, a little later on in the show, because Kobe's alma mater has been showing the films of Orson Welles, it's a great excuse to play my chat with filmmaker Peter Bogdanovich, which happened several years ago when the IMA showed Orson Welles' Touch of Evil. So there are references to... Crazy Heart, Jeff Bridges' films. Yeah, it's that old an interview, but okay. it's still fun nonetheless. Anyway, Salt of the Earth is definitely working out at Keystone Arts. What have you, Mike? You've caught up on some stuff, yes?
Excuse me. We did check out the Avengers last weekend, and I'm not much of a Marvel guy; more of a DC guy. So there are some of the references that are kind of lost on me. But if you just want to go for some mindless exploding entertainment, you can't do better than a Marvel movie with the Avengers in it. I mean, it's almost nonstop action. There are a couple of places where they try to slow down, do some character stuff, but it doesn't last very long. And
character things happen.
And the character stuff doesn't really stick. So
I gotta say, this isn't working. Let's blow some stuff up.
Yeah. And... but I mean, there were some parts of it I really enjoyed. I really liked that they took some time with Hawkeye in this film because he's like the lost Avenger. You don't know anything about it.
Because watching the first one, I'm like, wow, Jeremy Renner's in this. I'm like, wow, he didn't have squat to do.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, here's why. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, utilize your Jeremy Renner when you have him in a film, please.
But you almost now need some sort of cross-referencing.
Previously on the Avengers.
Yeah, to catch you up on what's happening in the movies versus what's happening in the TV show and where they cross over and what the heck the Infinity Stones are and all that.
You know some basement dwellers already done that, I'm sure. And which should hopefully soon be on Great Job, Internet.
Yep.
Now, that said, great fight scenes, great humor. I'll honestly be sorry to see Robert Downey leave the franchise after... the next couple movies or something. I think he's doing one more Avengers and a Captain America movie, and then that's about it.
Wow. Okay. I know Hugh Jackman just announced that the next Wolverine will be his last, as far as last stuff. Unless they just send him another ridiculous check and say, come on.
Well, that makes some sense, though, because Wolverine's supposed to be like 100 years old, so you kind of need to refresh that character with a younger actor every so often if he's going to have any staying power.
That's true. So we'll see about that.
And then, of course, we did Riff Tracks.
You know what? Let's dive into that now. Riff Tracks. Yeah, let's do that because you have two things that you should see this week: Salt of the Earth and Riff Tracks Treatment of the Room.
Nothing going on at IU Cinema.
No, that's not true. That's not, we'll get to. Oh, there isn't.
No, there's nothing.
Oh,
going
I thought
on
you were being
cinema.
Snide.
Nope,
sorry,
there's
sorry,
nothing
IU.
Going on at
sorry,
IU Cinema. There's
oh, sorry, because schools.
School's out.
School's out.
Nothing going on at the IMA yet.
Oh, so here, ladies and gentlemen, show's over. There you go. There's two things you need to see. No, can we check the Tibbs and the Shelbyville drive-in? But yeah, see, there really isn't anything else. So yeah, Riff Tracks Treatment of the Room, which, by the way, new material, because there is one of the best MP3s of Riff Tracks is their Treatment of the Room.
Yeah.
And you got to see it with the Marm in theaters. You said you had a very interesting fact of the demographics.
We were by far the oldest couple in the room.
Now you know how I felt when I watched it with Kobe at IU.
I can imagine what that
it's so nice that you're here with your dad.
But on the upside, you know, when I saw it at Keystone, at one of the midnight showings, you know, you had people throwing plastic utensils all over the place
dressed.
And shouting out. There was none of that during this screening. I mean, it's like people were really wanting to hear what these guys had to say, and most of them were fans of the movie. Mm-hmm. So I didn't.
Was anybody dressed?
No, I didn't notice anybody dressed.
See, I wondered. I mean, there was a part of me I want to see it. I cannot because I'm in rehearsal, but I really wanted to see it with an audience, and I was wondering if. So there, because you know, it's like Kobe and I have joked, and this has happened where you go to Rocky Horror, and this was when I was in high school and college, and there would just be one guy just not there for the right reasons, and he's had a few, and he would throw F bombs, not those F bombs,
right.
The other ones when watching Rocky Horror, and that just kind of put a damper on the whole thing. So I wondered if they were the audience would leave it to the pros.
No, everyone was well behaved. And that's it, exactly it. They let the guys do their thing. They let the Riff Track guys do their thing.
That's cool.
And so, you know, it, of course, the movie, the Room is a movie that you can enjoy on several levels. You know, it's the...
Lord knows we have.
So bad, it's funny
yep.
level. But then you go and listen to what these guys have to say about it. And it was just funny on a whole other level. And yeah, they're saying the things that when you saw the Room the first time, you were probably thinking in your head. But there were a few gems that came out of that. One that stuck out in my mind were their references to the repeated scenic shots of San Francisco.
Yes.
And how many times we need to see the bridge.
Yep.
And they made a comment that the Golden Gate jumped off of itself after seeing itself in the Room. But yeah, anything that you can imagine could be made fun of this movie, they hit, and they knock several of them out of the park. You know, for Mystery Science Theater not being on the air anymore, this is a nice, healthy, you know, kind of refreshment as to what that series was about. I kind of missed the robots, to be honest, but still, they were dead on. Funny throughout the whole thing, and if you get a chance to see it before during its repeat on Tuesday, do
absolutely. I wish PBS was showing more Mr. Science Theater.
Yeah, we just got the four.
Okay, yeah, I know. I was honestly when I first heard that we were carrying it, I thought it was going to be more of a regular thing. So well, I guess that's a start.
This is you know peeling back the fourth wall. There were only four offered.
Ah, well.
So we got the ones that they were offering.
Okay. Right. Well,
and thanks to everybody who watched them.
Yes, I'm speaking for you, the people. I would love to have
more. Because I had to work on our program director to buy it.
Wow.
A little bit. Yeah, they said, should we get this?
Yes!
Why? You're even asking? Of course you should get it.
This is why I'm not allowed on the first floor.
Heck yeah, you should.
So cool. You have Rift Tracks treatment of the room, and you have to the earth.
And get there early because the little satirical things they do at the beginning.
Oh, like, they make fun of the
they
the,
make all the
trivia yeah. and the stuff that you, that usually is up.
The funniest one is the word jumbles, the anagrams.
Yeah,
and it's so clearly Tommy Wiseau, but when they reveal the answer, this is just one of them. So spoiler alert, it spells out M. Night Shyamalan.
Nice.
That pretty much set the tone for the rest of the evening.
And it was crowded?
Yes, it was booked. We were lucky, and we got our tickets off of Fandango in advance, or we wouldn't have gotten in.
Man. So, yeah, please, more of that. Kobe, since there's nothing happening at your alma mater, they're going into the – I love this is the time of year where colleges are going into the transition of academic year to summer vibe.
Yeah. Summer dorm.
Summer dorm, summer apartment. Yeah, y'all guys leave so we can just have a quiet summer.
Yeah.
Go to Players Pub, watch the hippies dance. So anyway, what is happening at the drive-ins? We have not one but two options.
That's right. At Tibbs, here we go. Screen one, movie one. We got The Avengers followed up by Disney Nature Monkey Kingdom.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't imagine seeing that film in the drive-in, but good for them. Okay, that's
screen two, sure. We got Furious 7 and Unfriended.
Okay, which Ed Johnson-Ott gave that a good review. Kobe will not see it.
Screen 3, Hot Pursuit and Get Hard.
Yeah, I suppose. Comedy duo, double feature.
Yeah, one for the girls, one for the guys. Screen 4, Cinderella and Paul Blart 2.
No. Why? No. Why would you pair those up?
Because the kids will go to sleep after
I
Cinderella.
Suppose. My gosh. Sheesh. Okay.
Skyline.
Yep.
Two people doing this. Avengers and the Monkey Kingdom.
Okay.
But then...
Well, they're both Disney movies, so it makes
true.
Sense.
Fair enough, yeah.
The Throwback.
Yeah.
Psycho from Texas.
Ooh. Let me guess, 1973?
81.
Oh, sorry.
So that's not a Rick Perry documentary?
No, it is.
It's not a biopic?
Wow. What's it say?
A drifter slash hitman is hired by a local businessman to kidnap the local oil baron. The hitman had been reared in a squalor, suffering the abuses of his whoring mama when the baron escapes.
It says whoring on the drive-in website?
Yep.
Wow.
The little picture here says, he hunts women, his knife tells him to. Psycho from Texas.
You got to go see that. Come on. That's at 1 a.m., I think, on Saturday.
Yep. John King III, Herschel Mayes, Tommy Lamy.
I've not even heard of this. So I love it. Kudos for them to pull out old, obscure stuff at the drive-in, because that's what you should do.
Well, yes, absolutely you should.
Psycho from Texas.
Psycho from Texas. We might have to find that. That's cool. You have to have a whole series on those.
Where's that playing? That's in Shelbyville?
That's in Shelbyville.
Mm-hmm.
That might almost be worth the drive.
I think so. Once again, we are working on the campaign of having the film sociology crew hitting the drive-in. And, of course, hopefully very soon... Landmark Arts.
I was
going to
say, still waiting on the.
Still waiting on
that.
Mm-hmm. That's not, you know. So fingers crossed. But yeah,
and
I think
we're about a month away from IMA starting up their summer nights with National Lampoon's Vacation June 5th.
I saw the trailer for the remake. It's got your guy Ed Helms.
Oh yeah.
And Christina Applegate. I'm already thinking of scenes involving Beverly D'Angelo that hopefully Ms. Applegate is involved in. But yeah, I didn't ask for this.
No, did we need it?
No.
Was there a big push to get this remade?
You know what? We blame people younger than Kobe. Not you personally, sir. Just people younger than you. So thanks, younger people.
I mean, at least with the Ghostbusters, they're putting a new twist on it.
Females.
Yes.
Okay.
That's something, anyway.
That is something.
Compared to Vacation.
Technically, that is something.
That's something.
So we're acknowledging that it exists. All right, let's take a short break, and we'll talk about some films that are on DVD and Blu-ray. We have Dead People We Like. There's a That Guy I want to highlight based on a film I watched.
Yeah,
That Guy. We should record that so we have a segment intro.
Oh, yeah, That guy.
and then my chat with Peter Bogdanovich, because IU Cinema was showing Orson Welles stuff, but now it's not because school's out. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. The Raptors are out of the playoffs, right?
They are done.
So, yeah, Tyler's got time to...
They've been done.
...work in the newsroom.
He can see the Avengers now.
Yeah, he can.
Avengers.
You think he's calling Ben, his brother, Ben Hansbrough, collect, going, you're in another country, I'm watching the Avengers. Fool.
It's because you suck.
So, anyway, Kobe Slagle, Mike Perry hanging out with me. New on DVD and Blu-ray, ladies and gentlemen. Normally... Blu-rays and DVDs are released on Tuesday unless you want to do a special promotion, publicity, and release it on a non-Tuesday.
No, get out.
I know. And it's happening. It happened today. Ladies and gentlemen, now on DVD and Blu-ray, 50 Shades of Grey.
No, get out.
So, let's check in as husbands. My wife doesn't care.
My wife would like to see it, and I think I determined that it'd probably be best to watch this at home. So we'll probably rent it or get it on demand or something. But
Cope. Yeah.
Fair Sweet Bianca has seen it. No word on whether or not Fair Sweet Bianca wants to go buy it.
Who did she see it with?
Me.
You went?
Mm-hmm.
You all right?
Yeah, made it through.
Do anything?
What?
Did it do anything?
No.
No? Okay. This, and I will say this, I would say, and I don't think it's going to happen in his house, but I believe if Mr. Shabazz was here, that, you know, he would get to pick the next five in that sort of thing. Bianca liked it?
Yeah.
You liked it?
No.
Okay,
I'm straight at you, man.
Yeah, I know, and I'm trying not to ask particular questions about said sub. Okay, wow.
What was he just not your Christian or what?
No,
Ms. Johnson doesn't light the screen up.
No, just nothing about it.
And by the way, a little combination of inside info here at Film Sociology. One of our favorite regulars when she can is Stacey Studeville. Mm-hmm. And those who long-time listeners of the show, we love long-time listeners and short-time listeners.
We just love listeners.
We do. But as you know, Stacey, not a fan of Twilight, not a fan of Miss Stewart. of Kristen Stewart, mm-hmm. big time. Extreme hatred. I believe the term is with the heat of a thousand suns. She does not like Kristen Stewart. And part
no,
of
no, don't sugarcoat it. Tell us how you really feel.
She, oh, Stacey will. You know that. But now, part of it is.
But she's not in this.
I'm getting to that. Is part of it is the reason why she doesn't like Stewart is, especially when it's part of the Hollywood publicity thing, Kristen Stewart doesn't look like, always looks like she's never having a good time.
Right.
And I can hear Stacey from her office scream, "You're an actress. Mm-hmm. Act like you're having a good time. Wash your hair. Stand up straight." You know, she's a mom now. Yeah. Stand up straight. Look like you're having a good time. And she will say this, I think, to her dying day. About Miss Stewart, according to Stacey, Dakota Johnson starting to join that league.
Oh,
of if you saw her at the Oscars with her mom, mm-hmm. Melanie Griffith, and her new face,
her most recent face,
that there is that kind of slumpy attitude, and
really?
It's kind of a chore. So,
yeah, she's kind of giving that vibe on SNL too.
Yeah, be on the lookout for that. So, I know the next time Stacey is in, she will probably rant about Dakota Johnson. So, anyway, but I know she's not disheveled and unwashed. Those are Stacey's words, not mine. In the film Fifty Shades of Grey, which is now out on DVD and Blu-ray. So you can watch it tonight and then go to your child's commencement because it's college weekend.
Yeah, we kind of.
Because what else are you going to
Kobe? Okay, this is a portion. This is an old school book. Kobe is now Googling old young chicks.
No, I looked up Dakota Johnson at the Oscars and looking for this like slumpy, I'm not having a good time thing.
Well, there was also a red carpet interview with her and her mom. And the interviewer asked Melanie Griffith that had she seen the film yet? And she said no, and mom was, and daughter was not amused, and not so much that she didn't see the film, but it's like I don't want to talk about this film with my mom. Like, then why did you invite your mom to the Academy Awards?
And then your mom and dad to SNL.
Oh, really? They both were on.
Yeah, they had them planted in the audience during her monologue.
Oh my gosh!
And she's recognizing them, and they're just saying, "We're just glad you have your clothes on, honey."
Thank you, Don. Thanks, Melanie. Okay, so anyway, that's out on DVD and Blu-ray. Cobe, fill us in if you come home and there's a copy of it.
Okay.
Frank's pawing at it. But honey, the playoffs are on. Yep. So, all right, that's out. So, but all right, let's go back to the regular films that came out on DVD this week on a Tuesday, like proper cinema should.
We don't like our world to be rocked, guys.
That's
don't,
right.
Don't release this stuff on Fridays.
Or as Jonathan Holden always tells me, I don't like change. new on DVD and Blu-ray this week, the Oscar-nominated film Selma. A good film. A very good film. Not a great film.
It's flawed.
It's But there's that thing. If you don't agree that it should have been nominated, then you have problems.
Right.
That's not entirely the case. It is. I will say, Kobe, yeah, the flaw in the fact that it's flawed, it does feel like a textbook at times, but good performances.
A good song.
Good song. Well-deserved for winning best song. Hard to watch as far as, obviously, with the brutality that happened down there. But and this other thing is, I'm hoping that younger people, the same younger people that wanted the Vacation remake, maybe, mm-hmm. Hopefully younger people will get more awareness of that point in history. We all knew that this point in history happened. So, Anyway, but it's a good film, not a great film. What is a great film for me is Mike Leigh's film Mr. Turner, starring Timothy Spall, who I think, people talking about David Oyelowo should have been nominated for Best Actor, and I always say the thing of, well, you know, with all due respect to his work, who do you replace? I would love to have seen Timothy Spall nominated for Mr. Turner, which is based on the life of, I think it's J.W. Turner, the famed British painter. Mm-hmm. It's Mike Leigh's version of the biopic and the tortured artist. You know, not the nicest guy in the world that you want to, you know, spend time with. But as the film goes on, and it's a slow film, but a nice, it's a slow-paced film, but it's not a slow film. You find out more about him. He's terrible with his family, but he's great with strangers. He's not great with the art community, but he makes some absolutely wonderful, beautiful artwork. I really, really enjoyed this, and I hope more people check it out. Also out is Black or White, the one with Kevin Costner versus Octavia Spencer fighting over the custody of their grand. Two grandparents enter, one grandparent leaves.
Two Oscar-winning grandparents, by the way.
Yes, that's true. We have Black Sea with Jude Law and a guy I want to bring up, that guy Ben Mendelsohn, which I'll talk about in a little bit. That came out earlier this year. Kind of a fun, no-thinky B-movie set in a submarine going for... it's kind of, you know, Crimson Tide meets Treasure of the Sierra, or Treasure of Sierra Madre in a submarine.
What a category.
What's that?
A fun, no-thinky B-movie in a submarine.
Yes, there aren't that many of those.
It's not starring Kristen Stewart, so I think we're good.
Yeah. The musical The Last 5 Years with Anna Kendrick, so that'll get you ready for Pitch Perfect 2.
Right. Oh, is she in that movie? All I see is Rebel Wilson, or... Is it Rebel Wilson?
Yeah.
No, she's in it as well.
Yeah.
And then I actually got to watch the film produced, co-produced, written, and directed by Ryan Gosling called Lost River. If you took a modern-day Dickens story and add a little flair of David Lynch, that's this film, with Christina Hendricks, Eva Mendes, Ben Mendelsohn, Shoes Ronan, Matt Smith, for you fans of Doctor Who, and Ian D. Kexter, hope I'm saying that right, who is Leo Fitz in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You had me at Christina Hendricks.
I know. It's set in dilapidated Detroit, as if there's any other. I said it before you. But she's a mom that's behind in her rent. There's the smarmy bank manager played by Ben Mendelsohn who gets her a job at an underground burlesque house that likes to combine elements of burlesque and horror genres, horror films. There's a scene, a very disturbing scene where Eva Mendes is on stage doing a number and then she's stabbed through the chest. But it's part of the show if you're into that sort of thing. There is a disturbing sequence of Christina Hendricks' character. It looks like she's applying makeup when it's actually a scalpel.
Mm.
Yeah. And her son is being chased by a bully played by Matt Smith, who is not bully, the crime lord. He's known as the bully. And it's unnerving to watch at times. So I think it's a good way to describe it. And I don't know why Ryan Gosling made this, but he did. It's fine.
Because he could.
And he's got people like Eva Mendes and Christina Hendricks willing to work for him. But it is disturbing at times. It helped me in suspense, but I don't think it's for everyone. But because I'll watch anything Christina Hendricks does. We will. so I would say you rent it, but probably watch it by yourself. But not for those reasons. I just made it sound.
What reasons are that?
Because it's Christina, and that's it. Okay. So anyway, that is out there. Old titles on Blu-ray, because Mad Max is opening next week. And I know they've reissued, I think, all three films on Blu-ray. You can also get them as a collection. Universal is unleashed their Steven Spielberg films, which are the ones you don't always think about, like 1941, Duel, Munich, Always, and Sugarland Express.
Duel was one of the creepiest movies, period, let alone just TV movies.
And I always remember
that I've ever seen.
Dennis Weaver spoke at my college, the Ball State University, yeah, my senior year, and he still bragged that he's the only actor whose name was above a Steven Spielberg film. And if you see Duel, which is basically Dennis Weaver chased by a truck,
yeah,
I mean this kind of lays the foundation for Jaws. It's really well done. Yeah, it's for because, you know, TV movie has a stigma, still does.
Yeah.
But man, that's a creepy film.
That one did so well that they ended up releasing it in theaters.
Kobe, man being chased by a truck in the daytime. Maybe
is there somebody in the truck?
You don't. Yeah, but you never see.
We never see him. That's part of the mystery.
That's weird. I don't know. Probably not.
This might be Silver Stakes material.
Oh yeah, Silver Stakes game.
Okay, because my luck's got to change some year, some generation. For Fair Sweet Bianca, since I poked fun at it earlier. New on Blu-ray, On the Town, Gene Kelly, Frank Sinatra.
Oh yes.
Yeah, the guy, the sailors in New York, but also
and the third guy,
as well as Anchors Away.
Yep.
You can also get Robin and the Seven Hoods on Blu-ray if you need a clearer picture of the Rat Pack with Bing Crosby. The Sergio Leone collection that is put out by MGM Warner, MGM UA. So it's the three Clint Eastwood films and Duck, You Sucker with Rod Steiger and James Coburn. Also on Blu-ray, and I always reference this film all the time when it comes to wandering the earth forever and being cursed, Lady Hawk. As a Lions fan, I'll be wandering the earth like Lady Hawk, forever cursed. Rutger Hauer, Michelle Pfeiffer, young Matthew Broderick, directed by Richard Donner. So that is out there as well. Okay, we have, and also I wanted to mention Ben Mendelsohn, who is in Black Sea. He is in Lost River. And as we're putting it, eventually we'll have the segment, that guy. Australian actor. The first thing I noticed him in of note was the 2010 Australian crime thriller Animal Kingdom, which was the one with Guy Pearce. Jackie Weaver earned her first Academy Award nomination for that. And since then has been in films like Trespass. That was the home invasion thriller with Nicole Kidman and Nicolas Cage.
Okay, yeah.
Directed by Joel Schumacher. He was John Daggett in The Dark Knight Rises. Killing Them Softly. He appeared in The Place Beyond the Pines. And so once I see somebody as that guy and I remember their name, you know, like I said, Animal Kingdom was the first thing I knew him in. What did he do before that? You're like, oh, yeah, he was in that too. Like, I sound like Linda Belcher. Knowing the Nicolas Cage paying off his debt action film. Australia, the Baz Luhrmann epic with Nicole Kidman and
Hugh Jackman,
thank you. The New World, the Terrence Malick film. Vertical Limit. Remember that? The Martin Campbell, Chris O'Donnell mountain movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a long time ago on that. See, Love Brokers, Cossey, Sirens. That was the one with Elle McPherson.
I know you know
that one. Quickly Down Under.
Really?
Yep. Back in the Plato Flynn and Map of the Human Heart.
How old is this guy?
He's my age. He's 46.
I was going to say he doesn't.
He's a little older than me.
Doesn't seem that old.
No. And okay, we have some dead people we like because we don't have time for dead people we don't like. Grace Lee Whitney from Star Trek as Yeoman Janice Rand. So she was the blonde that was in the first eight episodes.
With the parquet braids.
With the parquet braids. And really only did Star Trek films of note. She did TV before Star Trek, but anyway, we like her. Michael Blake, who won an Oscar for adapting his novel into a film, Dances with Wolves. Mm. And
just watched that again the other day.
Yeah?
Yeah. It still holds up, really.
I might have to watch it again, maybe. And that lady, Ellen Albertini Dow, who died at the age of 101.
Wow.
You know her as the rapping grandma from The Wedding Singer.
Oh, that lady.
That lady, yes. She was in Wedding Crashers, the two Sister Act movies, Road Trip, Patch Adams, Body Slam, Munchies, My Blue Heaven, Memoirs of an Invisible Man, Radioland Murders. But this was cool. She earned a master's degree in theater from Cornell University, moved to New York, studied dance with Martha Graham, and studied acting with Uta Hagen, and was part of the Yiddish theater troupe. This is all back in the 1940s and 50s. And
wow.
She got her obit in the New York Times. Not bad. Not bad. Salute. All right, ladies and gentlemen, because IU did a retrospect on the films of Orson Welles, I got to speak with director Peter Bogdanovich many, many moons ago. This and the F. Murray Abraham interview kind of helped make film sociology a real show, real program. But the IMA many moons ago showed the Orson Welles film Touch of Evil. And here's my chat with Peter Bogdanovich. Tell us about the first time you got to see Touch of Evil.
It opened in 1958 in New York. I was living in Manhattan. It opened on either the top or the bottom half of a double bill, which is the way pictures that the studios didn't think much of opened for the days. It opened in a lot of theaters at once, which in those days was an insult. Now it's the way every film is done, but in those days, if you open a film on a double bill, double bill meaning two films, an A picture and a B picture, playing at what they used to call the neighborhood theaters or the Nabes.
Mm-hmm.
That was considered that the picture was being thrown away, and that's how it opened in New York. I went to the first screening. It was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I went with a good friend of mine. We enjoyed it. We loved it. just slipped out, and there was hardly anybody in the theater, and the reviews were poor. The same day, my father brought, same day, just a couple of days later or before, my father was a painter and an artist and kind of an intellectual type, and he used to bring back art magazines. He'd go and buy art magazines. He brought back a French newspaper called ARTS, and on the front page was a long piece by François Truffaut with a picture from Touch of Evil and calling it Wells' masterpiece. So I thought, well, there's a little difference between Paris and New York, I guess.
Were you a Wells fan already at the time?
Yeah, otherwise I wouldn't have gone to see it so early in the morning.
Okay, fair enough. I would say, how much impact did he have on you as a filmmaker? How much influence did he have on you as a filmmaker? I mean, obviously, besides enough coming to Indianapolis to talk about it.
Well, I mean, he had more influence on me as a personality than directly as a filmmaker, because we're very different in terms of the way we make pictures. But he opened my vision a lot. And made me realize that nothing had to be set in stone. You could prepare a picture, but still leave yourself open to the possibility that something better might come along on the day you're shooting or just before the camera turns. He kept to a kind of freshness with the actors. He also was very, very gregarious and open and funny on the set. Now, I was the same way, so we had that in common. But seeing Orson do it kind of validated it for me.
I think also his films were events, and also the fact that the filmmaker got to be a brand or a star product. And I remember as a kid, I mean, you were in the same boat with directors like Coppola and Scorsese. It was a Peter Bogdanovich film, no matter who was in it. The main thing was that it was your film as a director.
Well, that became the issue in the early 70s, late 60s, or mainly in the early 70s. I was the first filmmaker of my generation that got the billing of film by, which is a French European billing. I didn't ask for it. They just gave it to me.
Hmm.
And I would have preferred a Peter Bogdanovich production, which I took on What's Up Doc and Paper Moon. But they gave me that, and it was in all the ads, and it was pretty big type. And it started the whole American tour thing over here.
Mm-hmm. Besides,
how did I feel about it? I felt a little intimidated by it, and didn't think about being in the forefront of anything. It just was the way it worked out.
Besides making cinema history, I know one of the things I've really appreciated is that you've been a teacher of cinema history with your books and the commentaries and the appearances and all the documentaries and whatnot. Was education always a part of your goal as an artist?
Never. It's just that I never thought of it as education. I thought of it as popularization. I thought I was keeping the flame alive of films that I liked, which pop culture, has a short shelf life, and unfortunately, and I've come to realize how short the shelf life is. It's gotten shorter and shorter.
Now, if I'm going through my personal collection and stuff that I've done research on, have you done commentaries on all of your films that are on DVD?
I don't think I did one on Texas Will, because it's not the version that I like.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I did one on Noises Off, because they didn't ask me. I don't think there is any commentary on that one.
Okay.
Which I wish there were, because it's one of my favorites.
Well, you're always informative when you give the commentaries. And, as a film I guess, film host and film buff. You know, I go back to the word education. It is for me as far as learning what you did and how you did it. And what I've liked over the years with DVD was it was finally satisfying to hear the music of Bruce Springsteen in Mask, and last year to finally see Nickelodeon in black and white.
Yeah, if you enjoyed it, you can imagine how much I was so happy to get them right finally after 30 years or something.
I'm trying to remember. Do you know if At Long Last Love will ever make it on the DVD?
I don't know. It was such a disaster. The version that the good cut, which has been shown on television and exclusively, nobody ever saw the original release cut ever again. I guess it might. They have a very good print at Fox, very beautiful print. They just and people rent it occasionally. It was shown in a tribute to me in San Francisco, against my better judgment, but they liked it, so they showed it.
Well, I figured if a film like Mamma Mia could get made today, then that film would be worth looking at again.
That's what they said up in San Francisco, and the critic who'd seen it before re-reviewed it, re-evaluated it, thought it was pretty damn good. I don't know what I think of it. It was a good idea. It didn't. It was compromised a bit, but I could do it better if I had to do it over again.
Okay. It's the museum that is hosting Touch of Evil. Next month they're showing Last Picture Show. I wasn't sure if you knew that or not.
No, I didn't know that.
Well, they are February 19th. And we had an art house theater in town a few years ago that closed, and their last movie they showed was The Last Picture Show.
That's appropriate.
Very appropriate, indeed. My gosh, that film is almost 40 years old, and it doesn't feel dated at all.
Thank you.
Yes. When was the last time you watched it?
Maybe a year and a half ago, I saw it with an audience. Played the certain pictures you make play the same way no matter what year or what audience. And that's a sure sign that it's going to last. I'm very proud to say that it played that the way it played when it opened.
And that was one of those films where, you know, it launched a lot of careers, obviously, with Jeff Bridges and Cybill Shepherd and Randy Quaid, and was able to, you know, put Ben Johnson and Cloris Leachman to a new level. Ellen Burstyn was in that, of course. You just look at on paper and you think, wow, you know, 10 years after that, you know, the budget would have been and their salaries would have been much, much more.
Oh, yeah. We made the picture film not for nothing. It was $1.3 million.
And that was a book that a paperback that you picked up at a store?
That's how it started, but then I didn't buy it. Sal Mineo brought it, the same paperback, a few days later, and gave it to me. And I thought there must be something in this, so I guess I better read it. Sal always liked the book and thought he'd be good in it, but he was too old for it by the time he gave it to me. He thought I'd like it, which he was right, I did.
Jumping forward, a film that I really enjoyed, and I was curious about how you got involved with it, was the Tom Petty documentary, Running Down a Dream.
I loved doing that. That was such fun. Well, Tom was wanting to make a 30th anniversary film, documentary, and he and a good friend of his, a producer named George Vaculius, who was a friend of mine, were talking, and Tom said, who can we get to do the documentary? And George said, how about Bogdanovich? And Tom said, do you think we could get him? He said, I don't know, let me call him. So he called me and asked me if I'd be interested. And I didn't know much about Tom Petty, but I'm interested in things I don't know much about. Didn't know much about Texas either. So I knew he was a big name in rock and roll. And I said, sure, I'd be interested. Why are you asking me? He said, because Tom likes your stuff and he thinks you'd be good to do it. I said, well, let's meet. So I flew out to California and met with Tom. We talked for 4 hours and I said, okay, I know how to do it. I think I know how to do it. At least I know how to approach it, and I'd like to do it. And that was it.
I was impressed with how thorough it was, and despite its length, I wanted more.
Yeah. We got, you know, when you get the right rhythm for a picture, you can go on and on. It took us a long time to find the right rhythm for it, and once we got it, it just flows. I've seen it with audiences, you know, on the big screen, and it's very exciting.
And I think of when Scorsese did The Last Waltz and Shine a Light, and Jonathan Demme's done Stop Making Sense and Heart of Gold. Does it change you as a filmmaker to go from concert music documentary to working on a feature? Does it change your mindset at all?
No, because it's a different kind of thing. I mean, the Tom Petty would have been impossible to make. It had to be digital. You couldn't cut that picture in the way I made, you know, let's say The Last Picture Show or What's Up Doc or Paper Moon or even Mask or even The Cat's Meow. It can't be cut nor normally. You have to have digital editing in order to be able to do all that kind of fancy footwork, which the rock documentary requires. And, I mean, it would have took long enough with the way we were doing it. I can't imagine how you could do it before a digital cutting.
And how do you feel about digital?
Oh, I think it's fine. It speeds up the process. That's all.
Okay. What are you currently working on, either as a director or as an actor?
A little acting here and there and some pictures, but I'm working on a few pictures as a director. I'm trying to put together a couple of pictures, and people are trying to get me to do a couple of things. I'm not sure what I'm going to do first, but I'll be doing something this year, probably in May or June. Not sure what, so I can't really tell you because I'm not 100% sure, but a very different kind of project.
Okay. And I guess because this is a film talk show, I'm curious what you've seen recently, whether it's old or new or either.
Well, I liked Fabulous Mr. Fox a lot. That was one of my favorite films this year.
Mine too.
I loved it. I thought Up in the Air was good. I liked Clooney in it a lot. I liked The Two Women.
Mm-hmm.
And what else is there? I haven't seen Avatar, and I haven't seen a lot of pictures. I enjoyed Robert Downey Jr. in Sherlock Holmes. And I haven't seen a lot of pictures.
Crazy Heart, by chance?
I thought Jeff was extraordinary, and the picture's charming.
I agree. He's
Jeff is just amazing. Great, great, great performance.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great actor. He's always been a great actor. I knew that the minute we worked with him way back when.
It's funny when people still call him underrated, even though he has 4 nominations and a 5th one probably on the way.
Well, he still is underrated because he's right up there among the best actors of his generation. I think everybody knows it, but the public.
I think Crazy Heart's one of his best works.
Oh, yeah, he's brilliant.
But I really, really appreciate your time, Peter. And I guess I have to say, on behalf of all the male listeners to the show, thank you for the diving board scene in Last Picture Show.
Okay.
It helped out a lot of us, so.
I'm glad. Glad to be of service.
Peter Bogdanovich, thank you so much for being on Film Sociology.
Thanks,
there you go, my chat with Peter Bogdanovich. I don't know if Kobe would like the film The Last Picture Show, but I think the diving board scene he would like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
1971.
You're a guy.
You're a guy. Kobe, 1971 Sybil Shepherd was kind of stupid pretty.
Yeah.
All kinds.
Kind
of
hot.
Kind of stupid hot. Yeah.
Cover girl hot, man.
Yep. So salute Peter Bogdanovich. We appreciate it. Yes. Salute. Anyway, we got just a little bit of time. In the next couple of weeks, there's some Shakespeare movies that are going to be shown. Well, Shakespeare-oriented movies shown in Richmond at IU East that I'll be doing the Robert Osborne impression and introducing. Tonight is the 1999 Michael Hoffman-directed A Midsummer Night's Dream. That's the one with Michelle Pfeiffer, mm-hmm. Stanley Tucci, Rupert Everett, young Christian Bale, Calista Flockhart. David Strathairn, that's a lot of fun. Kevin Kline, of course, is Bottom. I enjoyed this. I think it's a really good 101 introduction to the story of Midsummer. So, anyway, that's if you're on the east side of town. Otherwise, go see Salt of the Earth. So you have Salt of the Earth, you have The Room, and you have drive-in movies, including, what was it, Murder? Killer?
Psycho from Texas.
Psycho from Texas.
There's or a well... just stay at home and drink heavily.
Wow, with that in mind, thank you, Mike Perry. Here's some other words
Silent
to live by.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie or stay at home and drink. You deserve it. And happy graduation to everybody. Now what? You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the point and WFYI.org. There's only one team I care about now. Go Tigers.
We go. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.